just a small portion, really only one statement, but we'll read the whole context from verse 1 through verse 11 of Mark chapter 11. It says, "And when they came nigh to Jerusalem, unto Bethphage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, he sendeth forth two of his disciples, and saith unto them, Go your way into the village over against you, and as soon as you be entered into it, you shall find a colt tied whereon never man sat. Loose him and bring him. And if any man say unto you, Why do ye this? Say ye that the Lord hath need of him, and straightway he will send him hither. And they went their way and found the colt tied to the door in a place where two ways met, and they loose him. And certain of them that stood there said unto them, What do you loosing the colt? And they said unto them, Even as Jesus had commanded, and they let them go. And they brought the colt to Jesus and cast their garments on him. And he sat upon him, and many spread their garments in the way. And others cut down branches off of the trees and strawed them in the way. And they that went before and they that followed cried, saying, Hosanna, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the kingdom of our father David that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And Jesus entered into Jerusalem and into the temple, and when he had looked around about upon all things, and now the eventide was come, he went out unto Bethany with the 12. This is the word of the Lord, and he will most certainly add his abundant and gracious and magnified blessing to the reading of this as holy truth. Let us pray. Most blessed and gracious Heavenly Father, in the name of your beloved Son, in the name of Jesus Christ, we come before you. And we come confidently, Lord, knowing that your word is a precious word that tells us of the precious blood of Jesus Christ sprinkled upon the altar of God, that we might have access with thee. We come before you, Lord, in his name alone and by his work alone, and who he is and what he has done. And that you look upon us by the same measure, Lord. And because of that, Lord, you'll minister unto us the precious truths of your word. You'll minister unto us a joy in the sovereignty of God by your grace. You'll minister unto us all these things that whether we have understanding or whether you enlighten us, Lord, that we may walk even as is prayed by several of the men tonight. That we may walk as witnesses unto thee, for you have left us still upon this mortal coil to enjoy not only the power of your resurrection, but the fellowship of your sufferings until Jesus Christ come again. We pray, Lord, until he come again, that we may persevere by your grace and in your strength and through your mercy, and that men may know that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. We thank you for that blessed opportunity, Lord. In his name we do pray. Amen. The portion that I wanted to consider today, and it's probably no surprise to this congregation as I look out on you and realize the blessed truth that have come forth unto your ears from the Lord himself and through some faithful ministers of the Lord. And the verse is, in verse 3, it says, And if any man say unto you, Why do ye this? Say ye that the Lord hath need of him, and straightway send him hither. But the Lord hath need of him. That's a strange statement as far as an introduction, because we recognize that though God became a man, he is still very God, and he's self-sufficient. Jesus said himself in the Gospel of John, as the Father hath life in himself, so he hath given the Son to have life. And in giving it, it's not because he created him, as some modalists would like to say, some oneness people. It's because it is ordained. He gave Christ life because Christ himself is making a statement of the ordination of the Son, the second person of the Trinity, before the foundation of the world, that he would become a man. So he makes a great statement in John, not that he was born, but that he is very God. And that being God, he is self-sufficient, co-equal with the Father and the Holy Spirit, the same in essence, equal in power and glory. So we say that as he is sufficient in himself and has no need, when Jesus himself says to tell them the Lord hath need of him, that would be a statement that we would want to take pause. As this triumphal entry is the point and situation in which we might reflect it, it tells us a great number of things, and too many that I would ever even think to meditate upon for a devotion or even to preach one sermon. There's much, much here. But there's three things that I'd like us to consider first in the Lord speaking this. First, when he says the Lord hath need of him, we should be first reminded of his humanity. That though he is God, Philippians 2 tells us that he thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but was made in the fashion and likeness of a servant and as a man. He took on human flesh, and so he hungered. We see this as he was hungry, and he goes to the tree a little bit later. We didn't read that, but last Sunday we did read it, verse 12, that he went to the fig tree. He was hungry, and there was no figs there, but that he was hungry. We know the Lord got tired, and he slept. We know that the range of human emotions went through him, but they were emotions that we can't even touch. We can't come close to in the corruptions of our flesh, because his emotions were always perfect, always righteous, always bringing glory and pleasure to the Heavenly Father. But he had them nonetheless, and it speaks of his humanity. He had need. As he had physical needs, we should be reminded of that, and that tells us of the glorious truth of the person of the Son of God. That God must become a man in order to save sinful men. That no sinful man could walk a righteous life, so God must become a man and became human. It speaks of that blessed humanity, but more than that, it tells us of his humility. That God would become a man, leaving the glories of heaven for a time, to be born as a babe to poor parents, to take and be friend and company to sinners, and those who would shun God, he reached out unto them in his humility. That everything that he did, that he's been accused of being rich by people that haven't read their Bibles, saying that he was in this prosperity gospel, but God was born poor, and he lived the life of poorness. As a man said, Lord, I'll follow you anywhere. He says, the foxes have holes, and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath nowhere to lay his head. He was making a statement of his poverty, and not to glorify that, but his humility. That's how far God has gone. We see his humility as we looked at last Sunday, that this was a colt that not a man sat upon. And that shows how humble, how meek, as Zechariah 9 and 9 is quoted, that lo, behold, he cometh low, meek and lowly upon an ass, upon the colt, the foal of an ass. That this is one never a man sat upon, and he must be the meekest man that ever lived. We see in his need that in his humanity that he was submissive as a servant. That he would do the things all the way up until, as Paul puts it in his blessed epistle that we love to quote so often here among the men in Galatians 4, that in the fullness of the time, that the Christ came, born of a virgin, made under the law, and that in that timing to come at that particular time, his timing was always perfect. Lazarus was dead in the tomb, And he still stayed there because his timing was always perfect. He was a submissive servant. So his need was such that he was in submission all the time. And Mark picks up that blessed truth in the gospel incredibly. Finally, in his humanity, we see his surrender to the Father's will. He had need to fulfill the Scriptures. He didn't take it upon himself, as Philippians tells us. He submitted himself unto the Father, even to death, the death of a cross. But in every other point, that every Scripture would be fulfilled, and no Scripture would be out of place, whether he fulfilled it actively or passively, in this life that he had in perfect human flesh. His surrender to the Father's will to fulfill Zechariah 9:9. Daughter of Zion, shout for joy, for your King cometh. And he fulfilled it because his Father's will and his Father's pleasure was that which he needed to do. It was of necessity, not because he lacked, but because that was a need that is a blessed need in heaven that no man could strike upon. No man could take in the blessed glories of the need of God in bringing himself glory, to glorify himself through the Son, and the Son to glorify the Father in himself and by the Spirit. Tremendous mystery it is, but a blessed mystery to meditate upon and to weep over and to rejoice in. And I ask you to do that this week, because it's a grand thing to meditate not only on the deity of Christ, but on the deity of Christ that became human and humbled himself to become a man. The second thing we see in it is it's the means of God in Christ. The Lord hath need of him. The Lord hath need of him. Say, I'll read the whole verse. And if any man say unto you, why do you this? Say ye that the Lord hath need of him. He says to them, and he commands them, that now we know and we see that through his saying that he presents the very means of God in Christ. That the Lord has provided means. That was even prayed for tonight. That if we're still here, then there is a means, as we are the means that God uses, the redeemed of God in Christ, in order to carry his gospel unto dying men to be redeemed. Then if we are still here, then there is a purpose. And I thank you, brother, for praying that. That was a blessing. And even, in fact, all you meant, you prayed prayers that really touched on this blessedness of the means of God through us. And so what we see with that is that Christ commands his people. Because he says the Lord hath need of him, we perceive by the hearing of our ear, we hear from the command of the Lord. You tell him that the Lord hath need of him. We see that there is the command of the Lord to his people, and that as he commands, his commands are not grievous. They're a fulfillment of Scripture. They are a pleasure unto the Father. And all those things that we mentioned in his humanity, when we are obedient unto that, then we fulfill those things. It is the means. God uses those means to command his people. He uses those means to send his people. He doesn't just send them willy-nilly or send a telepathy thing that they have to guess, and am I going in the right way? He does so through means and in the voice of his Son, through the church or through the men of the church, through the ladies of the church to one another. Those means are used. The Lord hath need. And as he says unto, as he had said unto them during this last week, and he said, such as, Lord, when did we see you hungry and thirsty and need of clothes? He said, so much as you have done this to one of the least of these, my brethren, you have done it unto me. And so he commands, he sends by this means, and he supplies. The Lord hath need. And since what I've just quoted is really a seeing of that need in the Lord's people, because we do it unto him as we do it. And we see a fulfillment in it as it is done. And so the means of God in Christ, Christ commands, Christ sends, and Christ supplies. And that the Lord hath need tells us so. Finally, we see in the last thing, the third thing I'd like to point out is the responsibility of men to God through Christ. The responsibility of men to God through Christ. We see Christ's humility in the fulfillment of Scripture. We see the means of God in Christ appointed unto men to be those as the Holy Spirit is sent. Jesus said, I must needs go away, else the Holy Spirit will not come. And now He is working through the Holy Spirit. Finally, we have the responsibility of men through the Lord hath need of Him. In this we see that in His command, it musters in us obedience, even if it doesn't make sense. He's telling these men, and we have to consider even the whole context of it. The chapter before said that as He spoke of the cross, they understood what He was saying, but they couldn't apprehend the gravity of it. It said that they were sad when they heard it. And all the other Gospels put together, we know that they had an understanding of what it was, but they didn't get it because the Holy Spirit hadn't yet been given. Here is God. He has been confessed as the Christ, and they're sad, and He's telling them He's going to the cross. And now He says, go get a donkey. And the man's going to say, what do you need? And we go get it anyway. He commands, and it musters, that command musters obedience because the Lord hath need, because we are the means, because He fulfills in that which He has ordained. Next, His direction is worthy of following, though we may not understand. The responsibility, as we hear that the Lord hath need and we are the means, this responsibility is such that His direction is worthy of following, though we may not understand. It may not make sense, and then we may not understand as He sends us out, but we are to go anyway. As He points, we go in that direction. As He calls from a place, we come unto Him. And we may not have an understanding of the situations and all, but if this is the one thing, that as we read the Word of God and hear the voice of God, we should follow Christ in His voice against all things that might cause for our understanding to be placed in trust in the world. We must trust always in the Word of God and trust always in Christ first and foremost. Finally, the responsibility of men to hear this, the Lord hath need of Him. As He is conforming men, as God is conforming men through this means to the image of Christ, Jesus, He will be worthy to submit to, though it is sad and difficult. The Lord hath need of Him. As we hear the words of the Lord in His humanity to say, the Lord hath need of Him, I am going to fulfill my Father's will. I am going to bring my Father good pleasure. I am going to save men alive unto me for God's glory. And as I do so, and as I have ordained you to be the means, though it is sad what I have you go through, though it is difficult, any of the things I've called you to do, I want you to go and do it. And it is worth submission to. And men, to hear the Lord hath need, reminded that God became a man and went to that tree of wood and paid a debt He did not owe, for a debt we owe and could not pay. It should tell us that everything, though the saddest things that we have encountered, and they're sad indeed, that He is worthy of following no matter what. It may not even get better, and it may even get darker, but as I'm reminded of that blessed saint, the tramp of the Lord, Corrie ten Boom, she was reminded all the time in that concentration camp in Ravensbrück, with her sister kept telling her, Betsy kept on telling Corrie ten Boom, there is no pit so deep that Jesus Christ isn't deeper still. And the depth of what God has done to become a man, to say, the Lord hath need of Him, of a donkey. Doesn't that encourage your heart to hear that before you'll hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant," you're going to hear so many times. And you've heard, I can tell, this congregation right here has heard, "The Lord hath need of you." The Lord hath need of him. The Lord hath need of him and has pointed to you when he has mentioned you in the halls of heaven, sprinkled with his blood, angels not lighting even upon the glorious floor of heaven, and the Son saying, "The Lord hath need of you. The Lord hath need of you." And if he hasn't taken you as has been prayed tonight, then he hath need of you. Because that you, of what he hath need for, will bring him great joy, because it brings his Father great glory. Let's pray. Most blessed and gracious Heavenly Father, we're thankful, Lord, for this word that you've given us. We thank you, Lord, that Jesus Christ became a man. That thought should never be common, never be ordinary, that God became a man, that Jesus Christ went to a tree. Maybe it would be disdained, maybe it will be rejoiced in and embraced, but it should never be common. We thank you, Lord, for this time, and pray, Lord God, I pray, Father, for each one of the saints in this congregation that you have called by your name, that we would be blessed to reflect upon these truths this week and have our ears open that we might hear, "The Lord hath need of us." We love you, Lord, and thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.